So every year we celebrate his birthday or his appearance day on this day, according to the Vedic calendar. And this is a very, very wonderful and auspicious day for the devotees and actually for the world. I just want to mention before I start, one thing Srila Prabhupada taught us was how to cook. And one of the things that he showed us was a very simple way of making a wonderful sweet, and he called them simply wonderfuls. And in commemoration of that, my family has made a tray of simply wonderfuls here. So please take one or two or three, or there's plenty there, I think, on your way out or whenever you feel like. So everyone will get some prasadam. That's very important. Srila Prabhupada always emphasized the distribution of prasadam. So anyone who comes to our temples must have the prasadam. So today I'd like to just present very quickly. I'll read a verse, and we'll talk about the position of the spiritual master, the necessity of the acceptance of the spiritual master, and a little bit about the unique position, qualities, and achievements of our Srila Prabhupada. So first, a very famous verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Majjhalila 19.151, and this is from the teachings of Lord Chaitanya when he instructs Rupa Goswami. Brahmanda brahmate kona bhagyavan jiva guru krishna prasade bhaya bhakti lata bij. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the higher planets. Oops. I lost my thing here. And some of them are going into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets the opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. And the spirit, by the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper devotional service. Srila Prabhupada's purport, he says, and I've reduced some of this, it's a very long purport. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or to the cluster of many millions of universes. In all the universes, there are innumerable planets, and there are innumerable living entities upon those planets, in the air, on land, and in the water. There are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying the results of their fruitive activity, life after life. This is the position of the materially conditioned living entities. And out of many living entities, one who is actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or fortune comes in contact with the Krishna conscious movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet the bona fide spiritual master. This is called Guru Krishna Prasad. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon every living entity. As soon as they desire his mercy, he gives them an opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a fortunate person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is helped within by Krishna and without by the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living being become free from material bondage. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bij. So this verse and purport establishes this process of sambandha, or connection, the connection of the living entity with Krishna and Guru. So Prabhupada first describes why spiritual life is so important, and how the position of the living entity in this material world is one who is wandering. He says wandering through the universes, through higher and lower planets. And he says that living entities are found everywhere. The Bhagavad Gita 2.24 says, calls this sarvagata. Says the living entities are all pervading. They're everywhere, in fire, in water, on the land. And actually this is true, because scientists have found living entities practically everywhere. In Antarctica, did you know there are 400 species of lichen and 100 species of moss? And down in the deepest ocean trenches, 5 miles deep, where the pressure is thousands of times the surface, there are fish living there. and a mile underground, there's almost no oxygen, extremely hot, there are these nematodes, these little worms. See how much you learn in these classes? You have to come. So somehow the living entities find ways to survive in any condition, but they struggle in this material world. Bhagavad Gita 15.7 calls this prakriti shtani karshati, struggling hard with this material nature. So we struggle life after life after life in this material world until finally a fortunate living entity, Bhagavan Jiva, meets the bona fide spiritual master. So Krishna is the Paramatma, the super soul within the heart of every living entity. Krishna is so kind that he expands himself unlimitedly into the hearts of every single one of us, every living entity of all descriptions, and guides us. And he guides us according to our desire. If we desire to simply try to enjoy and play in this material world, he'll let us do that. But if somehow a desire arises for something greater, to somehow to know the truth, to know some higher spiritual knowledge, Krishna leads that person and leads us to the spiritual master. Then the guru instructs one on how to love and serve Krishna on spiritual knowledge. Prabhupada says, Nectar Devotion Talk 72, because by the mercy of Krishna, one gets a bona fide guru, and by the mercy of the bona fide guru, one gets Krishna. This is the process. All right? So Krishna leads us to the spiritual master, and then the spiritual master teaches us about Krishna. I had a personal example of this. My first meeting of Srila Prabhupada, which was actually in New Vrindavan in 1972, my wife was now Mantrini, and I were living in Illinois, and we wanted to visit some temples. We just heard a little bit about the devotees, and we were chanting a little bit. We read Bhagavad Gita. We were very interested. And so my wife wrote to all the temples asking if we could come and visit. We didn't know that obviously everybody's welcome. You didn't have to have an invitation. Anyway, only one person wrote back. That was from Seattle. So we drove 2,000 miles from Illinois to Seattle, got there, kind of enjoyed it. We saw the temple, talked to the temple president. It's a very small temple. They just had like single men, like brahmacharis there. And he said, well, most of our householders, the families, they live on our farm communities. I said, oh, really, where are they? He said, well, we only have one. There's one in West Virginia. So we turned around and drove 2,000 miles back to West Virginia. How many of you have been to New Vrindavan? Some of you? Is it easy to find if you didn't know where you're going? No, it's in these way back in the hills of West Virginia, up on the ridges there. Finally, we find it. We find this little farmhouse. We walk in the door, and there's all these devotees. And they're saying, he's coming, he's coming. We go, who do you think it could be? Could it be their guru? Well, we walked in and sat down, and then Srila Prabhupada walked in the door of the temple. That is not a coincidence. That is Krishna leading one to the guru. And I can see that in my own experience. It's absolutely true. So we stayed there 3 days. This was right after Janmashtami in Vyas Puja of 1972, when they had just opened the new temple there and just installed Radha Vrindavan Chandra in the temple. And so we heard Prabhupada for 3 days there, and then we decided to move into a temple. And we eventually went back to Illinois and moved into the Chicago temple. But I could really see that vividly. This is not a chance. It's not a coincidence that one drives 5,000 miles across the country back and forth and ends up just walking in the door and seeing Srila Prabhupada. This is Krishna's guiding the living entity. And most of the devotees have some different story, but, you know, of some significant in their life of how they were led to Srila Prabhupada. Now, one important thing about spiritual knowledge is that it comes in the process of what we call the cyclic succession or parampara. That means one spiritual master gives knowledge to another, that person takes it and gives it to another and another and so forth. This Krishna consciousness movement that Srila Prabhupada started has a 5,000-year-old unbroken succession of the cyclic succession, starting from Krishna himself, the one who spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna 5,000 years ago. But Krishna also spoke to Brahma, Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, spoke to Lord Brahma many, many eons ago, and Lord Brahma spoke to his son, Narada Muni. Narada Muni spoke to Vyas. Vyas to Madhvacharya, down to Lord Chaitanya 500 years ago, his followers, on down to more recent history, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta, Saraswati Maharaj, the spiritual master of our guru, and then Srila Prabhupada. So when one has faith in the spiritual master, it's not just the single person. It's the entire line of disciplic succession, that whole channel that takes us all the way to Krishna intact, with his words being passed on without change over thousands of years. So why does... Could somebody give me some water? I'm going to... Thank you. So why do we need a spiritual master? Why don't you? Okay, it's good. I have the Bhagavad Gita. I just read a book, you know, do it myself. Figure it out, you know. People think that, don't they? Everybody thinks, well, I can figure it out. I'm my own guru, etc. It doesn't really work that way, does it? It's very, very difficult. Spiritual science is very intricate. If we want to become a doctor, or we want to become any profession, anything, you have to learn from authorities. You have to have teachers. So it's no different in spiritual life. And this verse describes a necessity that one must accept in a spiritual master. And there are many, many verses in our scriptures that support this. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21, it says, "Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation." When the material life of a wandering soul has ceased, O Achyuta, he may attain the association of your devotees, and when he associates with them, there awakens him devotion unto you. So Krishna is saying, this is my process. You will meet my devotees, and they will give you Krishna consciousness. Now, when we say the spiritual master gives one Krishna consciousness, this doesn't mean just reciting verses, or, well, here's the philosophy, or here's some instructions for you. It's something much deeper, much more profound. The spiritual master actually imbues Krishna consciousness, spiritual life, within the heart of the disciple. He awakens our devotion. He connects us on the path of spiritual realization. And that's why we have such a great debt to our spiritual master, because he is the one who's made that connection between us and Krishna and put us on the path of self-realization. Okay? You might say, well, how could that happen to me? How would I qualify to receive that mercy? How did I qualify that I was able, that Krishna sent me to Srila Prabhupada? My qualification was simply nothing. We have no qualification. This is in Kali Yuga, we don't know much. We have bad habits. You know, we're very, you know, Bhagavatam tells us all this. In Kali Yuga, people are lazy. They have very little self-control. You know, they're ignorant. They, you know, we can't sit down and do rigid meditation or austerity, things like that. So, Jiva Goswami in the Bhakti Sandarbha, verse 181, says, "The cause of devotee association is the independent nature of the devotee and nothing else. The mercy of the devotee arises just from seeing a miserable situation. It does not depend on the person worshiping the devotee." So, in other words, it is just the mercy, that causeless compassion of the spiritual master who, as is said, wanders through the universe and sees the living entity's suffering. And by seeing our suffering, that compassion arises and it is given freely to everyone. Now, you have to take it up. Prabhupada sometimes says, my mercy is for everyone, but you have to take it. Just like the rain comes down, and it's very good for the land and fertile, you know, it makes everything fertile and makes plants grow, but it also falls on bare rock, and it falls on the ocean, where it really doesn't serve a whole lot of purpose. So the rain falls everywhere, but some places are fertile soil where that rain is going to cause a seed to grow and a plant to sprout and to blossom and to produce fruit. So in the same way, that seed, that bhakti lata bij, that seed of devotional service may be implanted, and where there's fertile soil, in other words, where someone is sincere in spiritual life, then that seed of bhakti, the plant or creeper of bhakti, they call it, grows and prospers. So it is simply out of compassion that the devotee gives one's mercy freely. We saw this example of Srila Prabhupada in his early years in 1966 on the Lower East Side of New York City. He didn't go to some, you know, posh suburb, you know, with rich people. He went to one of the lowest places. And, of course, all the hippies were there, but also drunks and criminals and, you know, vagrants and all sorts of people were there. And so Prabhupada just worked amongst them. And he preached to whoever would listen. And if sometimes he was invited, he used to go to this, was it Radhakrishna? There was some more fancy area he would go to and speak to people in some other area in New York. He'd do that too. In other words, wherever there was an opportunity to preach about Krishna, the spiritual master goes. Whether it's a lower or higher, it makes no difference. There's one story that when Prabhupada was on that original 22nd Avenue storefront in New York City, he was giving some talk, and due to the nature of the area, not uncommon, some drunk comes wandering in, you know, into the temple room. Everyone's looking, okay, what's he going to do, cause some disturbance? He has a roll of toilet paper, and he goes and he sets it down by Srila Prabhupada and respectfully and staggers off. Prabhupada said, yes, now his spiritual life has begun. In other words, the lowest person, Prabhupada took that service and appreciated that, accepted that, and said, now his spiritual life has begun. He has done an act of devotion. Krishna will note that, and he will have an opportunity. It may not be this lifetime. It may take another lifetime, but he will get that opportunity to go back home, back to Godhead eventually, because his spiritual life had begun by meeting the guru. There's also another practical answer of why we need a spiritual master. We need personal guidance. As I said, it's not just enough to study literature I remember before I ran into Srila Prabhupada's books, I had read copies of Bhagavad Gita. I don't know if anybody else had, but, you know, some of these different editions you see of Bhagavad Gita. And I read them, and they were interesting, kind of. And I had no idea what they meant, what the purpose was. I kind of read them and said, okay, fine, so what? Then somehow, I found in a bookstore, I was in a college town, and in a bookstore there, they had a section on spirituality, religion. This was about 1971. And I saw Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita. And I bought it. And Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, called Bhagavad Gita As It Is, was completely a whole nother experience. It was enlightenment. It was refreshment. It was something that just was different than anything I had encountered. And I remember being young and a little bit arrogant then, you know, as we are. We think we know everything. My first thought was, after I had read it a while, I said, oh my gosh, he believes the same things that I do. Well, that was pretty arrogant, as if I had thought of these things. No, but what it really meant, what I actually was conveying was that here is something that actually spoke to my soul, spoke to my heart, where nothing else had. This is something that I could resonate with. This was telling me, what is the purpose of life? What is my purpose? Why are we here in this material world? What should we be doing? How do we get out? And most importantly, how do we develop our relationship with God and therefore then our relationship with all others on a spiritual basis? So Prabhupada gave us that personal touch. He gave us that personal guidance in both his personal, we call it Vani and Vapu. Vapu means the personal form. When Prabhupada was alive and we could see him, you know, and talk to him and there, and he would give us instruction. But what's called Vani is even more important. Vani is instructions, his books. So many, many people have never seen Srila Prabhupada, but through his books, they become influenced because his words are not different than his personal self. Okay. So these books have to be explained by one who has realized them. Prabhupada called his Bhagavad Gita As It Is. This guy thought that was kind of a quaint title. Why Bhagavad Gita As It Is? And Prabhupada explained, because so many copies of Bhagavad Gita would change versions, or they would, you know, try to put different words in Krishna's mouth. But Prabhupada said, no, this is Bhagavad Gita exactly as Krishna spoke it, exactly it has been given down through parampara, as one spiritual master after another has passed on the sacred knowledge to me, and I am now simply the conveyor, the conduit of this knowledge to others. So, if you want to learn carpentry, I don't know if anyone's tried this, like doing things like, you know, or any kind of skill like that or craft, you can read a book and try to figure out how to do it, but sometimes it's really difficult, right? But if you did an apprenticeship with a master, you would learn very quickly and it'd become very clear. So in the same way, spiritual science, we need to learn from the master, one who knows. Yeah. So who is the spiritual master? How do we know to accept Srila Prabhupada? How do we know to accept the spiritual master? Well, then we corroborate. We verify, and it's described that there are three different items: guru, sadhu, and shastra, and they should be in agreement. That means the guru, the spiritual master, the sadhus, who are the spiritual masters, the great saints who have come before, and the shastra, or the scriptures, like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. The guru speaks according to scripture and according to the predecessor sadhus. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself says, 434, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. Jnaninas tattva darshana. They have seen the truth. That doesn't mean seen like they saw it on a page, you know. It means seen within their heart. Krishna has revealed himself to the spiritual master. He has a relationship with Krishna, and he is speaking the words of Krishna. So he has complete knowledge of transcendence, and he can then give us that to us. One other nice verse about the qualifications of the spiritual master is Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.1.21. I think this is the Navigendra speaking to King Nimi, I think. Maharaj Nimi. It says, the qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusions of the scripture by deliberation and is able to convince others of those conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. So he speaks the truth as he has heard from his spiritual master. He doesn't make a show of tricks, of mystic power, of, you know, conjuring things or creating ashes coming out of pictures or something. And he doesn't reveal intimate relationships or give you some secret mantra. Most probably don't remember this, back around the time when I was joining the Krishna Consciousness Movement in the early 70s, late 60s, there was a lot of groups around, a lot of different competing spiritual groups. And one meditation group gave everybody a secret mantra. I remember, actually it was called Transcendental Meditation. Anyway, I mean, it was kind of based on a not too bad of an idea, but it's funny because I talked to many of these people and I found out what their secret mantras were. They were all the same. And basically, they were all cling, shring, on. They were basically what we call the seed or bija mantras that are used in deity worship and others, you know, in different prayers. They were just very, very simple, nice spiritual words, but everyone just had the same one, they said that. So why not just make them public? Why? Because you paid $50 to get it. Okay, Prabhupada wasn't like that. The spiritual master says, here it is, here is the most valuable mantra that you can get. Here is the most powerful mantra that is the most deep realization contained within the words, and that is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And that is not a secret. It is a secret, but it's an open secret. It's there. Not many people know it, it seems like. But there's a few million of us in the world that do. And so it's very open, and we openly give it to everybody freely without charge. In fact, some people think we're a little pushy in giving it to them. So no, because we want everybody to have this mantra. We want everybody to have these books, and we want everybody to have this spiritual knowledge. And that is the nature of the spiritual master, that it's given like that. And it has not changed. That same message is delivered, came from Lord Krishna down through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, down through all of his disciples to Srila Prabhupada. So, the spiritual master has this knowledge, but it's not enough to just have theoretical knowledge. It must be realized knowledge. It must be knowledge that is applied in one's life. In the verse I just read above, it said, leaving aside all material considerations. Now, what does that mean? That means giving up all material things. Giving up your personal desires, giving up desires to please your senses, desires for all the things that we all like to do, to take care of ourselves, and kind of like, you know, no, the spiritual master is basically, we call it like on all the time, 100%. Like Prabhupada said, for the pure devotee, there's no public life or private life. He's always the same. And he was. Those of us who saw Srila Prabhupada in different times and different circumstances, unchanging. The same pure devotee concerned only in serving Krishna, only on giving Krishna, only giving that to you and to helping us. So he has personal example. We call it prachar and achar. Prachar is one's activity and, I'm sorry, prachar is one's words and achar is one's personal example. Like we call the spiritual master the acharya. That means one who shows by his own example. So that achar is so important, a personal example, the spiritual master. And Prabhupada showed us this all the time. He led a very renounced life. All of his activities were to serve. He slept very little. He woke up at 1 a.m. in the morning to do what? To translate Srimad Bhagavatam into English. So working all night, sleeping very little, he translated 50 volumes of books into English to give to all of us, because very few of us really read Sanskrit. You know, I mean, well, Sanskrit? That was like you'd think, what's the punchline? You know, it's some part of some joke, Sanskrit? No, it's, we didn't understand these scriptures or Bengali, but Prabhupada made them accessible, and he wrote his purports in such a way that they would appeal to all of us, especially those in the Western world, and all over the world for that matter. So he was 100% dedicated, a pure devotee, and because of that, he was obviously empowered by Krishna. So what did Prabhupada do? Well, it'd be enough if Prabhupada just gave his personal example of a wonderful devotee, and some of us met us, and, you know, he imparted knowledge to us, and we had this nice relationship, and we all become devotee. No, it was so much more than that, so much more. He began and developed a worldwide movement to spread bhakti yoga all over the world. He was the one who was uniquely qualified to spread this Krishna conscious movement, and he did throughout the world. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, his spiritual master, sent many of his disciples to different places like to England, etc., to try to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness, and they all failed. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, never mind, he said, Abhay will do. Abhay, of course, was the name of Abhay A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Abhay Charanaravinda. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada's appearance was foretold hundreds of years ago in a book by Lochan Das Goswami called Chaitanya Mangala. And in that, Lord Chaitanya is talking about spreading his movement. And he says, what about those in foreign lands who might escape? And he said, never mind, I will send my field commander to these foreign countries in the future to bring back all the rest of these living entities. That was Srila Prabhupada. He was successful beyond all expectations. Prabhupada's books have sold well over 500 million copies. I couldn't find real recent figures. That was from about 10 years ago, so it must be more than 600,000 to 700,000 copies by now. I can't imagine. He established over 100 temples. He traveled throughout the world, went around the globe many, many times. He had thousands of disciples, probably 5,000 direct disciples, but to speak of all the others that he influenced. He started schools, farms, restaurants. He inspired countless projects that are still going on today. And by his inspiration, it is continuing. Srila Prabhupada left us in 1977, right? 48 years ago. And here we are. The Krishna Conscious Movement didn't go away, didn't fold up, we didn't just close up shop, say, that's over now. No, because of his inspiration, his continual presence, his continual spiritual presence within our hearts and within our lives, we continue onward with the work of Srila Prabhupada, which is not yet finished. Won't be finished. It's never finished until everybody is liberated, until everybody becomes a devotee of Krishna. So, and that's something we felt with Srila Prabhupada. We felt that his personal presence was rather amazing. You always felt this unconditional love. You felt acceptance. You felt here was a person with no personal motivation. Here was someone who did not want anything from me. He had nothing to gain. He only wanted to give to me. He only wanted to help us. That was Srila Prabhupada. And that's something we felt was very real. And he made everybody feel good. Whenever you saw Srila Prabhupada, you know, you had this wonderful experience. One time in Potomac, Maryland, in their temple there, Washington, D.C. temple, in 1976, Srila Prabhupada was there. And so my wife and I made mango ice cream for Srila Prabhupada. And we made it, and I went and bought the ingredients. Actually, Matrini made it, I'll have to be honest. I didn't make it. But I brought it in. I brought it into Srila Prabhupada, and he said, oh, he says, this is, well, first of all, his servants were said, oh, he already has some ice cream. He got ice cream that they flew in on dry ice from New Vrindavan cows. I thought, oh, boy, I can't compete with this. And so but Prabhupada said, what is it? They said, more ice cream, Prabhupada. And he says, what flavor? I said, mango. He goes, oh, bring it here. And so anyway, Prabhupada was always very encouraging. He always made you feel good. Whatever little service you did, it was so much pleased. So Prabhupada ate it. He said, this is the best. He said, this is like Bengali ice cream. I'm not even aware that they make ice cream in Bengal, do they? I don't think they do. But I asked Bhakti Chuswami about that once, and he said, Prabhupada, it's better than as good as Bengali sweets in general, you know, something like so. And he says, bring it every night. Can you bring it every night? Of course. of course I would. You know, so that little tiny incident, not that significant, not some earth-shaking philosophy, some exchange, but something that just resonated in my heart, that here I'm telling it 50 years later, because it was so meaningful, just those small encounters. That was the nature of Srila Prabhupada. I mean, when you saw Srila Prabhupada, it was like, it's hard to describe. It's almost, you know, it's like he was glowing. He had this aura, you know. And it's like this ecstatic spiritual energy just came from him. And when you're with Srila Prabhupada, we used to think of it as like, if you were there in the room with Prabhupada, it didn't matter what happened. Right? Anything could happen. You know, there could be a great big hole where we all fall in, you know. Didn't make any difference. We were with Prabhupada. We were safe. Everything was okay if we were with Prabhupada. Which brings us to, ultimately, it's a personal relationship we have with Guru. It's not something official. The Guru is not like a job title like president, you know. Well, there is a president, but then there's actually then the person president, for better or worse. But the Guru is a person. There's a personal relationship. And the basis of that, of the motivation of the relationship, is one of love and compassion. And the great acharyas all shared this compassion to give others spiritual understanding. So ultimately, it's our love and trust of Srila Prabhupada that keeps us going 50 years later. One very early story, many of you know of Satsarup Maharaj. He wrote the biography of Srila Prabhupada, the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. And he recites that when he was first a devotee, he saw that many of the devotees seemed to have a real close relationship with the Prabhupada, and he wasn't really feeling that. He was a little, you know, he was a little aloof. He was kind of an introverted personality. But he says, so finally, he said, Srila Prabhupada said to him, if you love me, I will love you. And that was the most profound moment for him. It changed his whole relationship. It changed the whole basis. Because he then understood that it was on a basis of love. Loving exchange between guru and disciple. And that's the deepest spiritual relationship that one can have, that exchange of love. Okay, last thing I just want to mention is, okay, now I see there's one, two, three, I see at least two, maybe there's more, three or four disciples of Srila Prabhupada in the room. There's Mitrasena, there's Sukada, I don't know who else, anybody else? Myself, but most of you aren't. Most of you aren't, what's that? Oh, okay. But most of us are, I remember, of course. Good to see you, Hare Krishna. This is one of my oldest god sisters, right? It was 1972 from Chicago we were together. Wonderful. See, this is how wonderful Krishna consciousness is, because not only do we have the common father, but that makes us all brothers and sisters, right? So we have this common relationship, this bond. Anyway, but most of you, maybe you never even saw Srila Prabhupada. You weren't alive when he was here. Do you still have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada? What do you think? I'm seeing some yeses, some yes, yes. Yes, you do have a relationship with Srila, right answer. You do have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. Because there are many forms of gurus. There's Diksha Guru, which is your initiating spiritual master. There's the Shiksha Guru, who is an instructing spiritual master. And there are relationships with different generations. Like the guru of your guru is called Param Guru. So like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is our Param Guru. Those of you who are younger, your Param Guru is Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada said, the grandfather is more merciful than the father. So, in other words, you go down the line, you can get even more mercy from Srila Prabhupada. He guaranteed that. So, and Shiksha Gurus, as I said, are the instructing gurus. And that's greatly respected. In our scriptures, we often don't talk about this a lot, but the Shiksha Guru should be honored as much as a Diksha Guru. It has a very similar position. So, what is the position of Srila Prabhupada? Srila Prabhupada is the ISKCON founder acharya, the preeminent Shiksha Guru for everyone. And Prabhupada's position will always be there. Prabhupada said that for 10,000 years, his books will be the law books we will use. So he's the center, the unifying force within this ISKCON movement. We all accept his authority. And he will remain the preeminent Shiksha Guru, in other words, the instructing guru for all of you and for all generations to come. So every devotee can have a relationship with Prabhupada. And many younger devotees feel this connection to Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes I get a little envious. Sometimes I've had, several times my daughters have said to me, oh, I had a dream about Srila Prabhupada. And I go, how come you get dreams? You're not even a disciple. In other words, they have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. We all have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada, you know. And it will emerge, or it will manifest to the degree that we want it to the degree that we pray to Prabhupada and we try to serve Prabhupada, we think about him, we try to learn from him, we try to read his books, most importantly, then Prabhupada will be there for us. And we all have a connection, all have a relationship with Srila Prabhupada. And then the followers of Srila Prabhupada link others to Krishna consciousness. The next generation continues this process of parampara that will go on for thousands of years. Okay? So, that's all I have. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for your kind attention, and I really appreciate, after a very, very long weekend of festivities, that some of you still remain here on this hot afternoon, although it's fairly pleasant in here, by Krishna's mercy. Thoughts, questions? Others? Yeah, go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Tom Maharprabhu. Thank you for the great class.
Thank you.
Please forgive me, my question might not relate to the class, but it's something that's been swimming in my mind. What is the definition to be an individual? What does it mean to be an individual? Because the way I experience, to be an individual means to be separate. It means to be the center. I only experience things from my center of consciousness. I don't experience things from your eyes, or I cannot see from Krishna's eyes. I can only see through my eyes. Mm-hmm. So I have to be separate. And I only experience things from my center of consciousness. And because I'm an individual, I also have independence. So I feel all of these qualifications that make me an individual is what gets me in trouble, is what brings me into this material world, is what brings me in Maya. So how can I be a spiritual individual and yet be the center, but you have a center at the same time, and yet be separate from Krishna, but at the same time be in union with Krishna?
That's enough, because this is a very complicated question. It's a very good question, but you're covering a lot of territory here, which you could give a whole nother class on. But real quickly, I'll try to summarize. Yes, you're an individual. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, never was a time when you did not exist, nor I, nor all of these kings, nor in the future. So we all are individuals. We are all unique spirit souls. Now, sometimes we mistake what we think is our individuality with our material mind intelligence, right? And our emotions. In other words, we think, well, this is the way I am. This is the way I feel. Well, this is the way I am in this particular body, in this particular mind. So that's one thing we have to distinguish. So we're not the physical body, but also not the mental body, not the subtle body. But beyond that, we are the pure spirit soul, the jiva, the atma, which has an individual, unique identity. However, you know this term, achinta, bheda, bheda, tattva. We are simultaneously one with and different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means we are part and parcel of him, just as the sparks of a fire come from the fire, the rays of the sun are part of the sun, but yet they are different from the sun. Or you could say a drop of water has the same quality as the ocean. You take a handful of water, it has the same chemical composition, everything, as the whole ocean. But is this the whole ocean in my hand? No, of course not. In the same way, we have the qualities of Krishna. So we are like Krishna. We are one with Krishna in that sense. We are one, that we are all Satchitananda. We are composed of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. We have the same spiritual identity, the same spiritual purpose, being part of Krishna. And at the same time, Krishna has complete individuality, and he has given us a portion of that. So that means we have a portion, a small amount of independence, of free will. That's what makes one an individual, having free will or having volition. If you want to read more about this, in the Paramatma Sandarbha by Jiva Goswami, the first 49 verses, he describes almost completely the Atma. What is the soul? And he talks about these qualities of the soul, how it has individuality, it has volition, it has free will, it can enjoy, it can, all of these things. It has all of these remarkable qualities. And at the same time, then he goes on to say, but Paramatma, the Atma, has a relationship with Paramatma. And Paramatma, of course, is supreme. Or we could take it further to Bhagavan, Krishna. So both are there. Our individuality is there, and our eternal relationship with Krishna is also there. So it's like we have to, this juxtaposition of two different ideas. That's why achinta, bheda, bheda, tattva, simultaneously oneness and difference, is called achinta, inconceivable. Which means, not that we can't think about it, but to fully understand it with the material mind and intelligence, it's inconceivable. So we have to just try to hear from the Bhagavatam, hear from the Bhagavad Gita, hear from the spiritual master, take it in, of course, chant, serve, and it will be revealed to us, the nature of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And just real quick, a second question. Okay. Here in the material world, we're covered by Mahamaya, and then in the spiritual world, in Vaikuntha with Krishna, we are covered by Yogamaya. So is there a place where there is no Maya, or is it impossible to separate Maya from Krishna?
Well, remember, Yogamaya is internal energy. It's his spiritual energy. It's a part of his Sarup Shakti. You know, his own form, his own energy is Yogamaya. So when you say covered by Yogamaya, it's not so much, it's a difficult concept because we're covered in the sense that we are under the internal energy and we know what Krishna lets us know. In other words, like even the spiritual master is not totally omniscient, doesn't know everything. You know, it's like sometimes people try to do some trick like Prabhupada. Well, do you know, how many people are over there on the other side? You know, I mean, it's silly questions. No, that's not what it means. But okay, the point being, now I lost my thought here. Okay. Yeah. Okay, so that is the point of that. Prabhupada said that is actually the demarcation of the free will. You have the free will to work under Mahamaya, the material energy, and be completely covered over by the gross modes of nature, or be under Yogamaya, or the internal energy, where you are under Krishna's energy. Now, when we say covered, it doesn't mean the devotee doesn't know anything. You know, the devotee can be very knowledgeable, can know so much. But at the same time, in very intimate relationships, like in Vrindavan, the devotees in Vrindavan who have these relationships as cowherd boys or gopis or Mother Yashoda, they have a relationship where they don't really know that Krishna is God. That's Yogamaya. That's the covering of Yogamaya. And why would they be covered? Because it increases the sweetness and the intimacy of those relationships. In other words, Krishna's not, I mean, he likes that people worship him as God, of course. That's fine. But what he likes even more, that people love him just for who he is. It's described by our acharyas that there are two types of leela. There's the leela of creation and the leela of the sweet pastimes of Krishna. So in those pastimes with Krishna, then Yogamaya will sometimes cover the devotee. So they're thinking, this is my son. This is my friend. You know, Krishna, the cowherd boys will say, Krishna, you're not such a big man. You know, I can beat you, And sometimes he'll let him. He'll wrestle and he'll let them, Here's a person who's, creating millions of universes, and he lets his friend beat him at wrestling. Why? Because it's wonderful, loving relationships. It increases prema. It increases bhakti. Right? So that's the purpose of Yogamaya.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Sukhita, do you want to say anything? Or any thoughts on Srila Prabhupada? Or any remembrances or how you met him or anything? I know you spent a lot of time in India with Srila Prabhupada.
This morning I was speaking about the first time that I saw him, and I was, a lot of people at that time, and even now, are seekers. They're like, they're wanting to know more about, who am I? Why am I here? And so I also got books and read the books and met the devotees, who I really liked right away. And so the temple president, Abhiram, he had asked myself and Nartaka, were you there then?
I had left, I think, when you went to India.
Oh.
No, I'd already left.
No, this is before that. This when Prabhupada came to my...
When Prabhupada came, yeah. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and so he asked us to, put rose petals
right
at the feet of Prabhupada like that. So I was explaining that when I saw him, that I was kind of stunned, and I realized that, went through my mind that everything in life seemed like a bit of a disappointment to me. Like, you look forward to, whatever when you're a kid, Christmas, but I don't know, it just didn't quite do it, everything, 16 or, graduating from high school or going to college or whatever it was. So, but seeing Prabhupada was so much more than that. It was very palpable, just his kindness and his compassion. and his humility. You know, usually if somebody is a great person, like a, let's say, you know, a president, very hard to get close, very hard to be able to speak with him. But Prabhupada, on the other hand, was very accessible, even if, as the movement grew, even though you may not be able to, you know, talk to him all the time. It's like his mercy was very accessible as he gave class and, you know, just everything that he was doing to help the movement to grow. So it was beautiful. And the thing is, in this world, so much is based on, you know, if I do this, I'll get money and I'll be happy, mm-hmm. right? That's the fruit of activity of the world. But Prabhupada, you know, with our philosophy, we understand that, you know, you please God and you please God-conscious people, that, and you get blessings, and everything really comes from that. Everything really comes from that. So that is that's the greatest. I was going to ask you that, you know, so many people here, not as many as usual because we already had our festival at 1 o'clock, but let's say someone's are quite interested, what would you say was the next step from them? Like, wow, they're interested. Like, wow, that was really interesting what they said. And what do they do next?
If you're interested in Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, you know, say somebody's here and they're interested. Like,
what's the next step?
Yeah.
Obviously, read the books if you haven't. The books are
probably.
How
can they get the books? Is that open today? Or?
I don't know. Is she open? But there's books. If you haven't read our books, I would start with Bhagavad Gita or even some of the smaller books.
Yeah,
if you.
Give you a book from here if you want to take something home.
Whatever you feel inclined toward. Yeah, and talk to devotees. Associate with devotees. The association is so important because through association, our consciousness is affected, right? Yeah. And we become influenced by that. So find good association, right? By the way, Zuka and I were distributing books together about 52 years ago in Miami. Seemed like yesterday, you know.
And there were so many people, like even in the airport, sometimes people would watch us all day long, you know, like giving out books and collecting money, giving out books to, like, you know, what do they do with all that money? They would, you know, feel, you know, like envious or jealous or something. But once, you know, I taught here for many years, so once there was a man who came up on the porch of the Gurukul, right? And so I went to the door because I thought, who is this? So I went to the door, he looked at me and he goes, "You're Sukhana. You're Sandra Elsie." I'm like, "What?" He said, "I remember you from the airport." He was one of the people. Mm. Like, there was a line that we couldn't cross. If we crossed the line, we would have to go home. Mm. But this man became like a devotee, you know? He became so, you know, so much of it is not knowing, you know? So much, even when Jesus Christ was on the planet, right? They wanted to kill him, you know, but he had so much love and so much mercy that he was giving. So we have to just really use our higher intelligence to know what we want to do in this life to make it the best, to make it the best life. And that's the beauty of Krishna consciousness, right?
Absolutely. You know, you were talking about your relationship with Srila Prabhupada and how we all felt that with him. Remind me of when the Prabhupada came, when, 1975 to Miami? I believe it was 75. I remember our daughter was with us. She was back from Gurukula, Gopinath, and she was about six. And she had made this picture of Krishna, like, with, you know, how kids do with sequins and glued stuff on it. And, you know, she was kind of a good artist, actually, but, you know, it was a kid stuff, you know. And so my wife, Mantrini, it was during the day and nobody was around. It was real quiet. And so she came over to where Prabhupada was staying, his house, and Shruti Kirti was his servant. Shruti Kirti was still my great friend. He's a real sweetheart. He'd let anybody in. You know, he always wanted to facilitate seeing Srila Prabhupada. So Mantri says, "Could I see Srila Prabhupada?" He says, "Sure, he's not doing anything. Go on in." You know, of course, Prabhupada's not doing anything. So she went in, and my daughter gave Prabhupada this picture that she had made, a painting. And he looked at it very soberly for a long time, and he said, "Very great art, very great art." Of course, why was it great art? Because it was of Krishna. But anyway, that's how he was. Just totally encouraging of a little kid's, you know, picture, or whatever it might be.
And you can see the
love of it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's different than AI. Yeah. Yeah. This was not virtual reality. This was reality. Mitch, do you want to say anything, Mitch Sain? Did you want to say anything? No? Okay. Anybody else? Oh, you do? Okay. Right over here. I'm sorry. I thought you said...
I remember it was in a Back to Godhead magazine. There was an article about devotee artwork and some story where somebody's child had drawn a picture of Krishna, gave it to Prabhupada as he was leaving. He got on the flight and he like taped it to the seat in front of him and looked at it the whole time he was chanting his japa.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that, but I believe that's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true, the Prabhupada.
It was
like
in a Back to Godhead magazine article.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you were able to offer Prabhupada mango ice cream. That's big. And not just one day, but how many days?
Oh, it was three. And then we went to Detroit, and we did it again once. Let's see, when were you with us? Was that the trip we went up north? We went up to New York and Detroit and all that? Yeah, in Detroit, we made ice cream for him again. Well, can't remember. We started in Alabama, and well, 1 year we went up to New York, right?
Yeah, we
well, you got initiated, right?
Yes, in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia.
All the way to the East Coast.
Yeah.
And then we went down. And do you remember what happened in Alabama?
Didn't you tell that story the other day?
I did.
Okay, so you already told that. That's a long story.
Prabhupada was in Alabama? Okay.
No, it was a Sankirtan story. A wonderful story, but for another day, maybe.
So yeah. The ice cream story reminded me of someone who made guava jam for Prabhupada. She brought it from Hawaii and was there at the Vrindavan temple opening. And in the midst of everything going on, opening that great big temple that the devotees had worked so hard for, He got a little guava jam on his breakfast, and he asked, "Where did this come from?" And so they sent a, I don't remember if the girl got to come into this room or just somehow the message got to him that this was really good. This reminds me of the guava jam that my mother made for me. And so, yeah, the personal touch.
Yeah.
Always appreciating, noticing.
Yeah.
Little things that devotees would do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do any of our, anybody else have any questions or comments, thoughts?
Do you want one more question or do you want to
take a question? We can take another question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So today I was wondering if like parts and parcels of Krishna, like jiva, individual jivas, don't have that.
I'm old and deaf. You're going to speak
sorry.
Right in the microphone.
I've never asked a question in this temple before. Sorry. If parts and parcels of Krishna, like jivas, for example, like Srila Prabhupada was, right?
Yeah.
And if they don't have if we don't have the quality as like people of omnipresence and omnipotency like Krishna, when we all like meditate on Prabhupada and offer him something, like how is it that he like hears it or receives it? I was just thinking about that today. And so if he doesn't have the quality of being omnipresent or like that, like Krishna.
Mm-hmm. Well, the spiritual master has some of the qualities of Krishna, and in part. The thing is, the spiritual master or the pure devotee, let's say, can be have all kinds of powers and all kinds of abilities. Sometimes they're manifested, sometimes they're not. The thing is, it's dependent upon Krishna. You know, whatever, like, Prabhupada can know whatever Krishna wants him to know, basically, is what it comes down to, because super soul's in his heart and is telling him and dictating to him, but it's not like every single minute, every day, he knows everything goes on in the universe. That would be Krishna's, right? So that's what you're saying. So if I understand it, your question is, if, say, I'm trying to serve Prabhupada or create a Prabhupada, how does he receive it or know it or anything like that? that is one of the great mysteries of spiritual life, because although it's hard to understand materially, it actually is true. There's a spiritual connection that transcends those relative time and space, you know, obstacles. And somehow it happens. Somehow it happens. The other thing that... There's also this concept called Guru Tattva. Guru Tattva means, Tattva means, of course, truth, or the, you know. And in one sense, Guru is one, in that it is the same knowledge, the same information, that same, you know, transcendental flow that goes through all of the parampara, through all the gurus, and at the same time, of course, there's individuality within that. But so in the same way, just like it's described that when I make an offering, I offer something to Srila Prabhupada, he's, of course, offering to his spiritual master, and it's going back through the disciplic succession to Krishna. You know what? How does it happen? You know, it's kind of a mystical process, isn't it? I can't say exactly how that happens. It's, you know, it would take somebody far more, you know, deeply realized than me, I guess, to under, you know, but it does happen. We do experience that there's this connection. And that connection is experienced within the heart, which is transcendental to material boundaries. It's there. Somehow it is happening, and it is going on, and we feel it, and we realize it. And as we realize it, our faith grows more and more. And as our faith becomes stronger, we get more and more realization of that connection with Prabhupada, connection with the Guru, connection with Krishna, and that, you know, continues to grow and to expand. And it's just something that's you know, deep in the heart that one becomes convinced of. I wish I could give you a little better answer.
No, your realization is enough. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, wonderful question. Very thoughtful. Very thoughtful question. Okay, I think we should probably end. Remember, we have transcendental, they were offered today to Srila Prabhupada, with some sweet balls, Simply Wonderfuls, which Srila Prabhupada personally taught us how to make. And please come and take some, all you want. What's that? Yes, if you want to know more about our Krishna consciousness, we have books over here that you can come and take a look at.
Prabhupada, one quick question. Can I ask one question?
Yes.
Oh, yes. This is related to what Mataji was asking. I'm here. So the acharyas come back till all their disciples are delivered. Is that right?
I'm sorry. Can you come up a little bit?
Okay. Acharyas don't leave this world until all the disciples are delivered. Is that right?
Without word, what?
Okay. The acharya, they don't leave the world until all their disciples are delivered. I mean, they come back. If the disciple is here,
they'll come back?
Yeah, to deliver. Is that right?
To deliver their disciple.
Yeah.
Yes, but we don't know exactly how that happens. It's not that necessarily they literally have to come back. I mean, yes, we don't know. What I'm saying is, we don't really know the process necessarily.
Okay.
It could be that, you know, somebody else comes, that someone's... I don't know. It's one of those things where the spiritual master makes sure that you're delivered. Right. If he is your disciple, you are in that process. But it does. I don't think... My understanding is not that Srila Prabhupada personally has to take birth again for every one of us until we get out of here. But somehow or another, through that spiritual energy of Guru Tattva, we will be made sure that we will be delivered and get out.
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
All right. Thank you very much.